Hello everybody and welcome to the Black Spin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, welcome to, we're going to say the third episode, Lucy?
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is incredible.
During
these crazy times. Like, so yeah, just a quick catch up, Lucy. How have you been? Have you been getting on?
I've been okay. I've been self-isolating now for 4 weeks.
Crazy.
Again, like I said in the last episode, because I'm an introvert, it's been a little bit okay, but it's starting to get to me a little bit. But again, like I said, you know, I still have my job, I'm still healthy, so I try not to complain too much. So hopefully all of this dies down really quick, even though that's me being, you know, hopeful, but we'll see anyways, you never know.
No, that's a good attitude to have.
What about you?
Yeah, same. So literally just been working from home. It's been, like you said, a month now, which is like crazy. But I mean, yeah, you just have to, you kind of find yourself sometimes just being grateful for the position you're in.
Exactly,
Even though, like you said, it's not the most ideal set of circumstances, but this is a global thing. Everyone around the world is in the same boat. Yeah. So yeah, we just have to make do. But yeah, let's get into... well, the show. So the ATP and WTA, they announced they extended the suspension of the tours until the 13th of July, obviously due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. So yeah, that means no European grass court tennis, which is very unfortunate, and no Wimbledon, which we're going to get into later on as well, which is incredibly depressing. But yeah, Lucy, I don't know if you have anything to say, like, about the extended suspension.
I think at this point we just cancel all sports stuff this entire year. Let's be honest, because even if, like, let's say, okay, let's just say, like, end of July, boom, all of this is gone. The players and everyone else, whether it's tennis, basketball, football, they need to be able to warm up and stuff. Or just little cute exercises that we're doing at home. You know, it's not the same as you preparing for like a full-on tournament. People are not going to be 100%. So maybe still run some tournaments. But I think, for example, like in terms of tennis, maybe cancel the slams. I don't know.
Wow.
Or just only do slams and cancel the little tournaments. You get what I mean? Something like that. Because I feel like going through it midway, and bear in mind, you know, it will, like, that we're done like end of November ish. Like, really, what's really the point? Do you get what I mean?
No, I hear that.
So I think, you know, like, looking at everything, personally, I feel like this is going to be going on for a very long time now. You know, today, the news, you're seeing people, you see Sky News reporting that people are gathering in the bloody park because it's 20 degrees. I get the weather is nice, but come on. So I feel like this is going to be on for a very long time. So because of that, I feel like every single sport, as much as it hurts me, I think that's just the best thing to do. But I've already put in my mind that everything's been cancelled, so I don't have any high expectations.
Wow.
So then when they come and say, oh, it's been cancelled, I'll be like, yeah, see, I told you so. In episode 3, I told you so.
So you're not really, well, you don't really have any hopes of tennis returning anytime soon?
Not at all.
Wow.
I don't see any sports coming back anytime soon.
Wowzers. I mean, I get that. I understand that logic, but I'm going to try and be a bit more hopeful than that. Just for my own kind of sanity, because yeah, like it's been a depressing time with literally no tennis on TV, like, since when?
No, I think I was watching Nadal and team quarterfinal US Open.
Okay.
Like a couple of days ago. I just saw it because they just, the US Open just like uploaded it on their YouTube, and I was like, let me just put it on. Yeah. Anyway, it did feel nice, not gonna lie.
Really? Because nice. I don't know about that, because I'm the opposite. Like, I don't, at first
I thought I wouldn't, and I remember I even told you so, and I normally really don't, but I just played it at the background, and obviously as it was getting intense, I was like, oh yeah. So I think I'm gonna take this time to actually watch some like old matches and stuff, some that I missed and everything. I really do want to watch the first Serena and Azarenka match.
Okay.
When she was back, I think that was what was it?
Is it Miami or?
I think it was Miami.
Yeah.
I think it's Miami. I can't remember, but yeah, it was just, I remember watching it and I was just like so happy. So I'm going to watch it again. I don't know. I'm going to see.
Yeah, because for me, like, watching highlights and like reruns, it's not really doing anything for me. Like, as much as I miss.
Really? So yeah. Even during tournaments, like when tournaments are, you don't watch highlights?
I mean, obviously when tournaments are on, because that's different. Like, you kind of need to keep up to speed if I've not seen anything, right, if I've not seen something I've missed.
In general as well.
Yeah, I'm just talking about this particular time. So
no, I get what you mean.
Yeah,
because
it's just not like the same. And like,
yeah,
that's the beauty of live sport. Like, it's.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen at any time and you don't know what's going to happen, and like that kind of is, well, what makes sport special, that like unknown, like, well, ability or quantity about like watching sport like lively unfold. So watching like highlights and reruns, like, you already know the results, so you don't really get that same like thrill and like excitement.
True.
But I mean, a lot of people, it is doing them a lot of good, so fair play. But yeah, for me, it's not doing much, unfortunately. So yeah, like, onto Wimbledon, we briefly mentioned. So it's cancelled, like, for the first time since the Second World War, which is, what, some 40 plus years, what, 40?
It's crazy.
My maths is shocking. I don't want to say. But anyway, yeah, it's cancelled. Well, yeah, it's the first time it's been cancelled since the Second World War. And I thought it was really interesting as well, like, to see a lot of the players' like reaction, like, on social media.
When you see the difference between when Wimbledon Open got cancelled and Wimbledon got cancelled, and people are chatting.
Speak on it.
The thing is, Wimbledon is not even just one of like the best tennis tournaments, it's one of the best sports tournaments. Even people who don't watch tennis, you mention Wimbledon, they know where it is.
Yeah.
They know how it is. They think all white, classy, British, tennis, nice. Do you get what I mean? Like, it is literally like, it's different. It's already different in the tennis world. So can you imagine how different it is to a lot of the other sports?
Completely. Yeah.
So, you know, like, it was nice to see, you know, like, how all the players, you know, and I was just like to French Open, look, you could never, you actually could never just cancel your silly tournament, silly dates that you picked in October, because ain't nobody going there.
Because when it was cancelled, like, I think we all kind of knew or expected it to happen, as in we all knew the announcement was coming. But I think once it was actually like officially announced, like, it felt really, I don't know, like it. I don't know. I felt really depressed and like quite low. I don't know how you felt.
Definitely, it's funny because I remember saying Wimbledon's going to be cancelled.
Yeah.
Only because it's the first and that tweet, and then you look at the dates, and it's true. They needed preparations and blah blah blah. So I already put it in my head, but it was crazy how, because I'm someone normally when I put into my head like, okay, this is what's going to happen. Once it happens, I'm not like sad about it. Oh, when they announced it, I was still sad. I was like, oh my God, no. Like, seeing that tweet literally broke my heart. I was just like, okay.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty dark, dark time, like, right now, like, in the tennis world. And yeah, so that means no Wimbledon for 2020, which is just incredible. I was out the other day, actually, and it just hit me, like, randomly. Like, I was just doing, like, a shop. But one of the things that hit me was the fact that I'm not going to see the Wimbledon like vehicles, you know, like the cars they transport the players in.
Because
I don't live too far like from Wimbledon, so I would see like the cars like quite often, like, nice. Obviously during the 2 weeks. So, and that was something that I always like enjoyed seeing, like,
yeah, you're not getting that
as a fan, exactly. So, well. To not get that this year, it's like, oh man, like, such a small thing, but yeah, that literally just hit me like the other day. But yeah, like, you were actually there last year. Like, I want you to like, yeah, break down or talk about your experiences at the championships in 2019. What day did you go? How did you get tickets?
I went on a Saturday.
Oh, wicked. So that was the middle Saturday. Nice.
So it was like basically the week before like the finals and everything. So I went on a Saturday. I did sign up with the ballots like everyone else for the past, I don't know how many years, you always sign up, never got it. And then I was like, you know what, this time I'm going to try through Ticketmaster. Now, this is actually a little trick that I'm going to share to people, which some actually are aware of how to get tickets, luckily. Okay. Luckily.
An exclusive. Black's been global exclusive.
Yes, but before I even explain all of that, for those who don't know, with Wimbledon, it's very different from every other slam and tennis. Like, you have to sign up for a ballot to get a ticket, and if you get it, you get it. If you don't, they might literally take an entire year just keep on giving out tickets. If not, you can either get it through Ticketmaster or the hospitality tickets if you've got money like that. So I went through Ticketmaster, and what I did actually, I had like three tabs open, or two tabs open at work, and I had my phone, and I think I got it on like on Wednesday. So basically every two, on Ticketmaster, they don't even sell it like before, they sell it basically 2 days prior the match. So because I bought my ticket on Wednesday or Thursday, I got a ticket for Saturday. So I think so, was that it? Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, so it's always like 2 days, and they always give ticket center court number one and other court, and court number three, I think. Those are the main ones that they give. And those tickets are basically those who got through the ballot, but they couldn't go anymore and they had to give it away, or they were just like leftovers or something.
Okay.
So I had two, I came into work with this, like I was alone in my office, and I was like, you know what, today I am going to get Wimbledon ticket. I don't know how, but today by 5 by 4 to get Wimbledon tickets. So I had my phone, I had two tabs open, and I didn't even know what they were. All I knew was that there were different dates available. And then, was it 9 or 10 a.m.? I think it was 10 a.m. And then, boom. I tried, and I was refreshing the page, refreshing. It kept saying that it was selling out. So I was refreshing all three at the same time. And then on my phone, it popped up. I was like, oh! And I literally just... And it's so funny because I did not even think about it. Like, I didn't even look at the price. I didn't even look at what court it was. I didn't care, because all I wanted was to enter that Wimbledon. Yeah. Like, that's all I wanted to do.
This would be your first time going to Wimbledon?
That was my first time. Oh, wow. That was my first time, because obviously growing up, because I grew up in Senegal as well, so I missed out a lot. And before, I couldn't, you know, like afford to buy my own tickets and stuff for Wimbledon. And I did sign up for ballots before, but again, didn't get through. You know, there's some people who've literally been, I remember reading tweets, people signed up for 7 years and they never got a ticket.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. So that's why I was like, you know what, my only shot is through Ticketmaster, but I honestly never thought that would work. So I remember I saw it, and then the best thing about it is then I saw court number one, and I was like,
show courts.
I was literally like screaming up and down. And then obviously the day before is also the day you know who's going to be playing, court. And I found out Serena was playing the court number one, and I was about to cry. And I found out Stevens was playing, I was about to cry. I was like, oh my God, this can't be real. I was literally screaming up and down my house. Thank God my housemates were not home. I woke up dumb early, because I live far as well. But also, you know, they have this whole, they said that you should get there early and stuff and everything. So I got there early, and it's really crazy how even when you get there, they still like treat you like, I get why people give that Wimbledon stat, you know, classy.
It's a special,
upper class. Literally, even as we're queuing up for like to get our tickets, they have like, so what happens when you, once you go through security, you have someone coming in to escort you to the ticket office to pick up your ticket. Okay. I was like, raw, like, all right, cool.
It's VIP. Now,
so like they'll take a group of people, I think like just like a group of 5, 8 or something like that, and you have someone that will escort us to the ticket office. And then the thing is as well, my ticket, the one that I had, it wasn't, like, I didn't have the seats or anything. All I knew, I was in court number one.
Okay.
And luckily the seats that I had were great. That, like, I could not believe that, like, honestly, that thing was like dark. they were great seats, but besides that, it's generally the most beautiful place I've ever been. Like, it's worth all the hype. Like, to me, I just felt like it was just different. And what I love the most about it as well is that growing up, I always had this thing in my head that, you know, it was only white, upper class, rich people.
Yeah.
But it was actually a mix. Like, I saw people in casual clothes. I thought I had to wear, like, you know, the summer dresses.
I was going
to
say, what were you wearing? Like, were you...
I wore, like, a smart trouser and a night top. I had to go white somewhere.
I was going to say, like, it's like, what, you're, like, thinking you're in the royal box. Like, were you sitting in the royal box or something? Like,
listen, hey, I was thinking myself. I was like, okay. And funny enough, now that I think of it, the trousers were, like, dark green, but they're not green, but they're like very and I had like a summer hat, but unfortunately it wasn't too sunny enough for me to wear the hat. And I had like my I was smart casual, basically. Because I didn't know, because when I got my ticket, I remember they sent me like hella stuff about the rules. So I didn't know I couldn't wear certain clothes, that like you can't wear a top that have like, for example, I can't wear a top saying Black Lives Matter or like all of that. Like,
political statements and
I can't wear like batty shorts. Like, obviously I won't wear all those type of things, but it was interesting to get like a full on rule book on what I can bring, what I can wear. How I can behave and stuff. You can bring your own alcohol as long as it's not like hard liquor and stuff. Okay. And I think you can bring like plastic bottle, which is what I did. And yeah, like it's huge, it's big. There wasn't a lot of black people.
Of course.
There wasn't a lot of black people. People were looking at me. And the thing is, I was alone as well. So people were looking at me.
So you like, actually, wait. So you're actually there on your own, no one else?
Yeah, before anyone says anything, Wowzers. I'm a very solo people, a solo person. I solo travel, I do things on my own. It was only a one ticket that was available. If there was something, I don't even know, like, even invited someone else with me. But after the whole experience, I did say to myself that, you know, it was a beautiful experience. It was the first time that I did something alone that I really enjoyed, that I said to myself, I love this thing so much. I wish I had someone with me to just share that experience.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's really nice.
Strawberries
are nice, by the way.
Oh, so you did the strawberries and cream thing.
Oh, hell to you. Literally, before I entered the court, I went to, because I knew the queue was going to be mad, so I went, got my strawberry and cream, and literally, I got inside the court, like, hella early, so I was just there, just sitting down, I was so excited, and there was a woman, like, was an old woman behind me, because I was trying to take pictures, and she was like, oh, do you want to take a picture of you? And she took a very good picture, actually. That's a crazy thing.
Cool.
But it was, besides all of that, when Serena came on, my face was doing a lot of things. Like, I was just like, oh my god.
So Serena was the first one on, because I think play begins on those show courts, I think midday or 1 o'clock.
That was a 1 o'clock.
Okay, yeah.
That was a 1 o'clock. She played twice that day, and then she played centre court with doubles with Andy. Oh,
of course, yeah. So who did she play? Who did she play in the singles?
She played that Georgie girl. Georgia.
Oh, Germany. Yeah, Julia Gurgis.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes.
I watched that on TV. You were actually there in person.
She finished her quickly. It was a quick match. It was the quickest match ever. I was like, all right, cool. But it was great. That was my first time seeing her play, and her serves are so powerful. Like, it's just. But anyways, this is about to be Wimbledon, not. But one thing that's interesting to see, though, it was. A lot of people were not cheering for her.
Really?
Like, when she even won her last point, like, I was about to scream, but I didn't, because no one else did. So I was like,
that is very telling.
And it was us. Literally, they were really rooted. And Serena was literally whacking this girl left, right. Like, the match looked like it was a practice to Serena. I don't think people understand. Like, she was just there to just, like, there was nothing that was difficult.
Yeah, because that third, that was middle Saturday, that would have been what, third round?
It was a third round. But like, honestly, everything is that properly organized. Like, when you're getting in, like, everything is just great. People are just, like, you know, relaxing. Like, it was a bit diverse in a way of the type of people that you see. Again, it's not like just upper class. You see middle, lower, you know, you see a lot of people bringing, you can bring in your own food, so people are doing like their picnics and stuff.
Nice, yeah.
Honestly, even if you don't get a center court ticket or a first court ticket, by the way, there's like a, obviously those who don't know, there's like a big screen where you can sit down and watch all the other court. That's how I watched the Andy and Serena one.
Oh, and that, well, Hemman Hill, or Murray Mound, they called it now.
Yeah, exactly. That was in the center court. So honestly, it's really beautiful. A bit expensive, but again, it's, when you're there, you're not thinking about the money exactly. You're spending, you're just there and stuff. Like, I did not even want to leave. I don't want to leave. But also that I've been through all of these years for getting a Wimbledon ticket, it was definitely worth it. So,
and you said also Sloane Stephens is playing that day.
Sloane Stephens was playing against Konta. So I was really like in a weird position. I'm rooting for Konta because I'm British, but you know, Stephens, my guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I really Stephens wasn't going to do it because we know her performance in grass not that great. Yeah. And her and Konta, I don't know what it is. I don't know how Konta keeps on being this girl, but there's that as well. So like, at least he felt a little bit like whenever Stephen was like, you know, doing her thing, I was like,
yeah. Inside.
there was, and then, you know, sometimes I did bring the black in me. I was like, go on, Stephen, go on, Serena.
On number one court, incredible.
Literally, I remember. I tweeted, I was like, guys, no one can tell me shit. I literally screamed, go on, Serena, in Wimbledon. Are you crazy? No one can tell me anything.
You know, but, you know they probably heard you as well.
100%. I know. 100%. They had to. Do you know how I was screaming that? And I had really good seats, so I was quite close as well. So, but overall, is such a beautiful place.
Yeah.
I will highly the thing is, you can't even say highly recommend because it's not like you can just go. Oh, yeah. And you get what I mean?
Well, not this year anyway. Next year.
Not this year, but even like in terms of getting a ticket, like I said, it's so difficult. But you know, like, it's a place where I honestly hope I can go with a group of friends of mine. Like, because you even people who are not into tennis, I know if I had another ticket and I literally put my IG, which my friend wanted to go, they will 100% come. Like, it's just a different experience, a different vibe.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I did sign up for the ballot this year. I didn't get through so far. So obviously, you know, those who already got it now, actually, their tickets still valid next year.
Yeah, exactly. Which is good.
But I will sign up again next year. I'm still going to sign up either way, and I'm still going to try for Ticketmaster, you know. So, yeah. But
That's wicked.
I loved it.
So did you, before we move on, did you also like experience the outside courts? Because obviously, when you have like you've got access to all the outside courts as well as number one.
I quickly watched a double match. Of I can't remember the other players, but I know Agila was playing.
Okay.
So I watched some of the junior ones. Even the outside courts, they were so stunning.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was green, green. As in what I saw on the TV is exactly what I was seeing eye to eye. Like, it was just crazy. But yeah, I saw like the outside courts that anyone could just, you know, watch it and stuff. So that was great.
And yeah, that middle Saturday as well is quite famous. Well, it's well known that that's when the junior tournament starts as well. So you'll see like...
Right. Because it was quite a few.
Yeah, you'll see like the first especially round of juniors.
Especially the outside court, there were quite a few. I remember walking around this Djokovic as well. I walked past Serena's hitting partner, and I was so mad that I was too scared to go and ask him for a picture or say hi to him. And I was like, listen, just it happened so quickly. It was like, and I was just like, oh,
shout out Jameer Jenkins.
And I was just there like, oh,
oh, wicked.
I was like, Lucy, you had one job, but I think I was with a friend. I would have been like, hi, can you just like. Like, and I just looked at him like, hi.
Oh wow.
But literally, like, we and that was the thing. I think it's because it happened like 10 minutes so after I even got in as well. Yeah. So like,
it's
and I didn't expect to see. Yeah. I was still like trying to like
just take it all in.
And the next thing I just see him walking past. I was like, whoa, like, what's going on?
Oh, wicked. No, that's class.
You know, But yeah, honestly, guys, trust me, if you've ever been to Wimbledon, you probably even understand what I'm saying. But if you haven't, if you ever, ever get a chance to, please sign up for the ballot. If you can't, again, take my tip on, you know, getting the tickets through Ticketmaster, or get your sugar daddy so you can pay for the
tickets. I'm not, listen, I'm not saying anything. I don't condone that. I'm not condoning that.
I'm but just saying.
Just quickly before we move on, I think earlier I said that, yeah, it's the first time it was cancelled since the Second World War, which is correct.
Yeah.
But I said like some 40 something years. Obviously, that's completely inaccurate. It's actually like 75 years. So, wow. Yeah, just to put some like perspective on that. But no, Lucy, I appreciate like that kind of insight and like, yeah, background into well, your experiences at the championships last year. And yeah, it's just a shame that, yeah, we're not going to get that this year, but
yeah
next year hopefully, not hopefully next year, definitely.
I still have to hear Simona Halep going on about being defending
come on, what, so are we not gonna, and maybe we can save this for like a later episode, but what are you not a fan of Simona Halep winning, like you don't
of course not.
Wow, like I thought she played an incredible, She literally played the match of her life in that final.
Thank you. But now, what you're saying. Now tell me, when was the last time you saw her playing like that before and after that match?
Wow. I mean,
thank you very much. Thank you. Literally, her match right after that, she went from having 3 unforced errors at a final Wimbledon. Her next match after that, she had 30-something.
Do you know what? And again, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I think it's important to just bring up, just for the sake of this argument. I remember Serena's press conference after that match, and yeah, like obviously everybody was like in shock because
she was even in shock. Even this is what I'm saying. I don't even know where it came
Serena,
from.
Serena described them well. Halep's play as like lights out. She said, yeah, she just played lights out tennis. And I was like, you know, that is such an accurate like summarization of what happened, because literally that's what it was. Like, she didn't, anything like Serena tried to do, Halep had an answer for. And it was just literally like, because, just too good.
Like Serena even says, and like we all, when these girls play Serena or any of the Williams, they're tennis that you've never seen that even existed. And do you know what? A side of me is like, this is great because it shows to you why they are the greatest and where they are the best. Completely. But at the same time, it's even annoying as a tennis fan because it's like, aha, so you do have it in you to play like that.
Yeah.
But it takes you to play them for you to take it out. Yeah. Obviously, maybe it's a mental thing as well, which I get.
Yeah,
but it's really annoying because it's like, you know, how many finals was Halep at, even with French Open, for Grand Slams, and she never won them. Yeah. I mean, she won her one in 2018 after I don't know how many years. Do you get what I mean?
No, I hear what you're saying, but I just think
it's annoying. It's like you guys are so inconsistent, but you want to be playing the best tennis match when it comes to like the. It's no. If you're gonna do that, keep the same energy.
For me, that's just testament to like how great Serena is, though. The fact that these players play their best.
That's the best thing.
Tennis.
That is like, the best thing about it. She did. Don't get me wrong. Halep played. Even me, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, she was playing it. Especially on grass as well, like, it was just too good. But it's like, no.
I mean, I like Halep as well, so I wasn't that mad. Obviously, I wanted Serena to win, like, but yeah, I wasn't.
I wasn't that mad,
like, because I quite like Halep as a person. So, yeah, but.
You like listen, her as a person.
We'll get
that's another conversation for another day. Anyway, this is a black.
We're gonna talk about Wimbledon last year's Wimbledon in a later episode.
Better do that.
Moving on. Players on social media, obviously, like yeah, kind of following on from our last conversation. Like players are still working out literally at home, and like keeping us updated like on social media and stuff. Which is, I don't know about you, but and again, this is probably not the greatest thing to say, but I'm getting kind of fed up like of all the TikTok videos.
Ooh. Okay, I'm bringing all the bad vibes.
It's just listen, I understand like it's content, but yeah man, I don't know, I think it's just because I miss the game so much, like I'm just yeah, I'm hungry for action, and all I'm getting are like TikTok videos. Like
listen, I'm just saying, You know, shout out to Osaka, who is keeping us entertained. Shout out to, I think she's the only other black player that I see doing. Monfils been on IG live.
Oh, really?
Once it was, he was doing a workout with his girl.
Nice. Alina, Sistelina.
Yeah.
Okay.
And another time, I think he was like talking to like his friend and they were playing like PlayStation and they were speaking in French and stuff and blah, blah, blah. So. And by the way, I know a lot of people out here laughing at a savage challenge, yeah, but at least she did it, innit? Like, give her props.
Sorry, whose challenge?
Azarenka, she did like the savage challenge.
Oh my word.
it was all over the place, but shout out to Azarenka, innit? That's my girl.
I'm still yet to see that. I don't know if I want to see that, to be honest.
She did it. You know, I saw Muguruza as well doing some stuff. She's Spanish, she has a little bit of rhythm, so okay. It was alright.
Yeah. To be honest, it's been
Heather Watson has been heavily on TikTok.
Oh man, yeah, she's been going ham. Nah, she's been going ham.
And it's been so funny. She did a Kardashian one and I was dead. I literally even caught 2 hours that someone take her phone. So Heather Watson, thank you for the entertainment. You look like you're really bored. Like a lot of tennis players, you know, I mean, this is normally at this time there'll be traveling around doing different stuff. Yeah. This is their job from January to like November.
Exactly. Yeah. I do. Well, I've kind of been looking at from a different kind of angle anyway. Well, the music, like some of these players listen to, like when they're working out. Like, who was I watching the other day? Oh, the French girl. Is it Kiki Mendanovic? I don't know if I'm saying her name correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like she was listening to like some like proper trap music like whilst working out, and I was like,
hey,
French
people heard you.
I was like, go on, like.
So
I found that quite interesting. Obviously Serena as well. I don't know if you've seen the video of Olympia. Like this is this morning actually. I saw this. Someone posted. I think it was from Alexis's IG story.
Yeah.
Olympia's like going around like picking up balls like from the court.
Do you know what? Shout out to Alexis for posting that video because all of us were wondering if this girl was just out here baking or if she's out here practicing. And we heard, you know, in some of those videos we did hear a little bit of so like, all right, cool. So she has been practicing. That's good to know.
So
but we've only seen at least Venus is dropping us IG videos,
which is brilliant. Her working out, yeah.
And we get something.
Yeah.
But we're just seeing her skincare routine. We don't want your skincare routine, Serena. We do want to know if kin and running around that court, even though there's no tennis. Once tennis is back, you are prepared. Oh, I wasn't prepared. No.
Definitely. But it does make you think as well. Like, what about the players that don't have like, well,
the luxury to
exactly like a garden in their back garden, a tennis court in their back garden. Like,
yeah.
So it's just quite a. It's like I said, it's just a really like. Unfortunate time that we're in right now, but yeah. Again, thanks to the players though for like keeping us entertained, and I mean, I don't take what I said seriously about getting fed up. I understand like it needs to be done and like it's entertainment. So
you're just coming here with hella bad
vibes. Yes, allow me, Lucy, man. I'm struggling right now. I'm stressed out. So yeah, coming towards the end of the show, and I think this is going to be a theme now going forward, like until we actually do get some play again. So this time last year, what was happening? It was April. This is early April right now. So it was Madison Keys. She won the Volvo Car Open in Charleston. Uh-huh. And that's played on like green clay, which is like, it's quite weird, like seeing it on TV. But yeah, that was Keys's fourth career title and her first ever clay court title, which is like incredible, like considering like she's quite solid on clay. Exactly, yeah, it's mad. And her first ever on clay. And again, I followed.
Do you remember that first episode where you were like Madison Keys?
I don't know if that was our first episode or the test recording, but yeah.
I think it was the first episode.
Listen, I'm a fan of Madison Keys. I'm a fan.
Clearly.
I'm a fan.
I'm really surprised to deep that this is her fourth career.
Yeah. So, and that
I mean, am I surprised or am I not? I think I'm not surprised. I'm just surprised to hear it.
because on route to that final, she beat, I think she was the eighth seed. So, and the top seed was Sloane Stephens, because that was when Sloane was like in, well, she was well inside like top
yeah,
10.
Let's not talk about
Keys and Stephens, they played in the quarterfinals, I believe. Keys won in three sets. And then obviously went all the way to the final. She played Wozniacki in the final and won in straight sets.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a pretty big moment for Keys. And then also around this time last year, Naomi Osaka joined Team Nike, which I thought was
I was so happy about that. Yeah. I remember exactly. I was in Prague.
Oh, okay.
And I woke up and I saw it and I was like, yes. although I feel like, I don't know if I said this before on the podcast, but I feel like Nike has really been slacking in terms of like the tennis courts, outfits and stuff.
Interesting.
And I feel like Adidas has been doing way better, especially last year.
You know what? But, we're going to talk about that in another episode. But no, I hear what you're saying. Definitely.
Yeah, but obviously because she's like a bigger star, she gets to, you know, like you saw her US Open fit. That was the best fit, even her Wimbledon fit, which we saw for just once.
Like one round.
But throughout. Yeah, I was really happy to hear that. That's definitely given her the exposure. I think that's what actually has. If I might be wrong, but that's how her relationship with Kobe started, maybe.
Possibly, yeah, that would make sense, yeah.
Probably.
The late great Kobe Bryant, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think that really, that's one of the things that brought more out there and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, dating a rap star and then, you know, all of those type of things. So, and you can, it's funny because you can actually see, I don't know if it's a thing where because she's getting older or is it a thing where she's just accepted the fact that this is her life now, but you can see that her confidence coming out a bit more.
Big time, big time.
She could not even, I remember her, the first title that she won, I think it was the Miami.
No, Indian Open, Worlds.
Or Indian Worlds, yeah. I can't remember, one of them two. And she literally could not speak
speech.
And now today is like, you know, she made that funny tweet on Twitter when the French Open, that the old Osaka would have not done that, you know what I mean? So I'm really, honestly, like I said, to me, she's like one of my favorite of the next gen. I've said it before she was even big, I believed in her. Like she, to me, she's great. So seeing her, like, you know, being in that position and still being herself at the end of the day and still being a great tennis player, you know, that's all that matters.
That's a great point. And like, this is the thing, we kind of take it for granted because, what, she's 22? Like,
she's 22,
She's literally growing up, like, in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, people need to kind of take that into account sometimes when maybe they want to question, like, oh, like, why is she so quiet? Or, I don't know, like, she's not the biggest personality. Like, she's a young girl, like, literally.
And I remember she did do one of her first, like, ad with Nike. It was actually that. It was her. She was playing, and it was... you can hear, like, it was basically like as if that the media was talking at the back, okay, and stuff, and it was in Japanese and also English, and asking this type of question like, oh, you don't speak, or do you consider yourself Asian or black or this or that, and then the last shot was her hitting hard and she's gone. And as I said, that is just great.
That's,
you know,
class.
Like,
love that.
As she was getting there, especially with the unfortunate incident in the US Open that happened, you know, all of those stuff, it brought like a lot of toll, but I love how the way that she handled it. She didn't let the media, she didn't allow the media to first of all conflict like her and Serena, but again, I feel like that would have been difficult because she still saw her as her idol.
Exactly.
But again, some of these tennis players before, they used to say that Serena was her idol, and then Serena started whooping their asses left right center. They start saying, oh, I don't remember saying that she's my idol, but anyways. But you know, I like how she didn't let the media get into her head. It was probably a difficult time for her.
No, definitely.
Hence why maybe she was losing a little bit for that little period. But again, for someone, at that time she was only 21, and yet she's still able to do what she had to do, and she didn't let all of that get into her head, and she still won her shit.
Exactly.
And she's still got two Grand Slams, and no one can tell her shit at the moment.
Definitely. Japanese number one.
Like, she's out here breaking records and she's only 22, so I can't even imagine what she's gonna be at you know, once we're much older and
stuff. Indeed. And just quickly on Osaka, so I wrote a piece for the website, actually, just called The Siblings Game, which is the latest piece on blacktobeingglobal.com, if you haven't checked out already. And yeah, I've literally spoken about Naomi Osaka and her sister, Mary Osaka, whose birth date was actually, I want to say, on Friday or Saturday.
Like a day or two ago. So
happy belated to Mary. But yeah, just a fascinating kind of story, like, as in the Osaka story, following, like, the Williams sisters, basically, you know, two sisters playing tennis and, like, literally getting to the highest level. Like, it's something that we should...
And it's funny how even in them, the younger sister is the one who made it.
Yeah. It tends to be the case. So,
yeah.
Yeah, like, we look forward to seeing, like, how that story continues to, like, unfold. But yeah, Lucy, that's literally a wrap for this episode. So yeah, thanks for listening, guys. And yeah, just please continue to, you know, adhere with the guidance, stay safe.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Black Screen Global. Don't forget to follow us, rate, like, tell your neighbor, tell a nephew.
Definitely.
Tell a colleague.
All of that. Spread the word. Black's Been Global is the hashtag. Black's Been Global is, that's the name for all the social media channels. So yeah, keep listening and look out for the next episode in a fortnight from now. So yeah, that's been it, guys. Cheers for listening and take care.
Bye.